Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Hello.
Hello.
Are you here?
I'm here.
Are you a little distracted?
I try to be.
Gosh, Neil, we've got lots and lots of callers in the queue, so I want to take care of just the housekeeping quickly, just to let everybody know, first of all, how to get in touch with us, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, you may follow us. There's our Facebook account, which many of you have been joining us on, as well as our fan page on Facebook, which is linked under our friend Facebook page. And, you know, I was reminded the other day by a listener that we have podcasts as well on iTunes, and I think many of our listeners are coming through iTunes. So thanks for joining us there, everybody, and please find us on iTunes under the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. You can take us on your phone with you, so we're portable. Isn't that great?
Well, that's terrific.
Like, yes.
Reaching out there.
Yeah, and I was a little distracted on the show the other day. I apologize, but we're so inundated right now with emails that I'm taking the time on the show at times to answer them, and that's what I was doing on Monday's show, so I plan on being a little bit more present today. But, you know, we have so little time with all that we're doing, working on the book, and going out on house calls. Today specifically, we're going to be talking about a house call that we did, Neil, but I first want to let the callers know that we're going to be getting to the calls shortly. And I think I'll just call out the order for their convenience. 832 is first, then 412, 661 is next, and then 802. So we'll be taking your calls in about 10 minutes, but let's talk a little bit about that reading that we did.
Yeah,
wow.
That was a fun one, wasn't it?
Sure was.
One, we got to go to this huge mansion. I couldn't believe the grounds. It was immense. And there were different stories and rooms, and the grounds were immaculate, and it felt like we were at a palace. But what was interesting about this mansion, we can't mention any names or anything because that wouldn't be appropriate, of course, but we can't talk about the mansion and what happened there without mentioning the names. This has a strange history, this residence. Back in time, it was in the early, sometime between 1920 and 1930, let's say, there was a mass murder in the house. The husband murdered his three children and his wife, and then killed himself. So it was a murder-suicide. Well, of course, I mean the house is beautiful, so obviously the present occupants, who were not the occupants that took over the home after this is like third owner over, was aware of the history of the home, but didn't pay much attention to anything other than that something terrible happened here, but that was about the end of it. And they had to disclose that, of course. But what this family, who did not really believe in supernatural elements or ghosts or anything like that, they ultimately became overwhelmed by occurrences in the home, figures, shadowy figures, crying, screaming, gunshots coming from nowhere, just bizarre stuff, to where even the owner of the house, who was a staunch believer in not believing
right
ghosts, said, okay, this this...
I've got to get an expert in here.
Yeah, something's got to happen here. So they called us, and we went down, and sure enough, as we entered the grounds and through the gate, I was immediately seized by a tremendous trembling inside my body. Most of the time, I can handle these things. I have no problem with it because I'm familiar with this kind of phenomena. Here, it almost felt like I had eaten a bad meal and I was being overtaken by toxic poisoning. I was trembling. I had cold sweats. And when we were entering the grounds, I saw a shadowy figure that looked clothed run across the lawn as though in anticipation of me coming. It seemed to be fleeing from my presence.
Right, and I was seeing a great deal of shadows throughout that visit.
Yeah.
And in the mansion.
Right. These entities had manifested their energy to such an intensity that they were apparent to the naked eye. You didn't need to be using your third eye to see these things, which is my typical experience.
I'm sorry, can you clarify that? It's your typical experience that you need to open your third eye to be able to perceive, but in this case, they were running amok without any necessity to open the third eye.
Typically, what spirits do is they can generate enough energy to where they can manifest in the physical realm and be a common sight. Other times, they can manifest enough energy and only kind of come in halfway, and someone who has a perceptive third eye can sort of open up their third eye and see them. Other cases, they just stay in the shadows. They can't be seen at all. And someone with a very, very strong third eye can peer through into the astral realm and see them.
Right. And specifically, I think my most intense experience was in that music room that we were in, where I was seeing many shadows, flashes of light, and I really didn't feel like I needed to open my third eye. I mean, it was obvious. I don't know if the owners of the home were really experiencing that. Perhaps were more attuned, but that was the most intense.
You had your most intense experience in the music room.
That's right.
There were instruments in there and all kinds of things, and I too saw entities in that room and heard weeping and crying and music being played, but there was no music. Now, the occupants of the home did experience music being played in that room.
And we've experienced that, actually, hearing music that's coming from seemingly nowhere in our own environment.
Oh, yeah, certainly. But this was a house filled with trauma, and people who succumb to such circumstances as a murder, suicide, aren't always earthbound after their physical breath is done. They're not always earthbound. This family was. It was bizarre. And they were, I detected the man, I detected the wife, and the three children.
Man and wife.
apparently the man, you always get me on that. The husband and wife. Sorry about that.
No.
The energy of the male character, the husband, when I saw him, his physical manifestation was his head was there was a gaping wound. Now, in the astral realm, he doesn't really have a gaping wound, but as he manifests and gets back in touch with
his physicality, he's
going
to show what he experienced in the physical realm to someone like you, a reader.
Oh, yeah. His mouth was opened, looked transfixed in an open gaping zone. He looked very demonic.
Yeah.
And all the souls looked tortured. The poor children were all kind of frozen in essence. And so that became part of the element of the weeping that we were hearing. I was hearing weeping. Most of the weeping that I heard were feminine weeping. There was a little boy and there were two girls there, and the two females were, the two little girls were weeping. There were three children, I believe, and a wife, aside from, that's what I was
right,
getting.
Right, right, right.
aside from the husband himself. Now, well, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, that was my next question. What do you do with these earthbound spirits, especially when they seem to be in such torment?
Well, I know you're asking the question for the sake of the of our radio audience.
That's
but
right.
We were there working with them. You can't say to these entities, go to the light, you know, leave. You can't.
They're not mobs.
Simple. No.
Yeah.
You can't do that, and it's not going to work that way. And even if you sit there praying and diligently concentrating and meditating on them and asking them to leave, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Some people will come in and do all kinds of rituals
use sage and, you know, clearing the environment supposedly with these tools. But I mean, I know you're not a fan of sage or incense to do that kind of thing. It doesn't really work.
No, the way that I work is, first of all, I identify the spirits and I talk to them, and that's what we did. We all gathered in a room and I spoke to them, and they did relay information to us that was private to the family, and so it helped to validate the presence of these energies, and that they were very aware of the of a certain level of consciousness that the current occupants of the house were establishing. Which was kind of frightening to them, because it made the occupants of the house realize that these entities were currently aware of their presence and their daily activities. So they were absorbing the energy of them. The next thing we had to do was to go into different rooms, and I had to feel the energy. Now, Kristen, of course, accompanied me, and she's doing very brilliant work in terms of putting her energy out and feeling these things. It's very exciting, really, when you feel protected. It's almost like going in down deep in the ocean and you're protected in a submarine or something. You get to see everything and you feel protected, so you're not that vulnerable. I guess in some ways it's almost like scuba diving too, where you're a little bit more vulnerable to the elements.
Yeah, I'm way more interested in doing this than scuba diving or anything like that, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, when you're in the element, don't you agree you're like transfixed in a moment of excitement, and that's what life is about for a moment?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're dealing with such supernatural forces, and you're right there.
Well, it's such a privilege to be able to experience this world. So few are able to go in, feel that kind of protection, and experience all these different types of elements, from, you know, the lower realms to the higher realms, angels to, you
know, right,
demons. I don't want to say demons, but it's true. I mean, that those are the inhabitants of the astral realm. And when you start to develop your third eye and go deeper into this world, then you expose yourself to all kinds of different elements. It's a huge, huge, huge privilege and learning experience.
Right. And you mentioned the third eye. Well, of course, when you go into an environment like this and you're being asked to clear an environment, or at least help to define it, you have to go in with all your chakras intact, all your chakras protected. Kristen and I always go into deep prayer and meditation. We bring angels with us and guides. It's very exciting work. But we go in there equipped. It's like a fireman. He comes in with his uniform, his equipment, his protective coating. We do the same thing. And what we've done together most intensely is that we've learned to work together so that we can formulate a new kind of energy field.
Exactly.
That, well, first of all, we tried to burn the entities out of the place by our sheer energy. It's almost like fumigating. We don't do it through sage or holy water or anything. We do it
through
the sheer energy
field.
So you can't put out an energy field to where they just say, we're out of here.
Right, and we just recently talked about chakras and activating energy of the chakras for different purposes. This is another thing that people can do once they start developing and getting their chakras spinning in the right direction.
Oh, sure, because you can, I mean, if you're interested, you can feel energies around you, you can see guides, you can see angels, and you can also dispel or exile, if you will, energies that are negative or adverse to your well-being. So you can do it both ways once you understand the nature of the chakras of the body. And we always couple that, of course, under the guidance of God and angels. And, you know, we don't need letters that we are being deceived and
right.
that the devil is the angel of light. I'm very well aware what a demon is, and I'm very well aware of what an angel is, and I definitely ascribe myself to the principalities of God, so it's not, we are not agents of a darkness.
Yeah.
But certainly we're in contact with these entities, and that's what we're here for. Some of our purpose is to clear the earth of these darker elements.
Right.
And to bring people into a better function of living and a higher function of consciousness.
Thank goodness. And I just want to say that I would not want to be doing anything else right now except this work, Neil. It is so gratifying, and to be able to help people and to bring light into the world, that is truly, truly a high purpose. And I'm so happy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That I've had this opportunity.
There's a self-reward in there that, you know, when you live in the spirit, not just necessarily religion, but when you live in the spirit and you're doing what you believe is spiritual work, it's very gratifying because it gives you a sense that you are preparing for the world hereafter, that you are actually doing the work,
yeah.
the principal work of higher energy. So, and it's just part of what we do. I mean, there are many things of what we do, and we have a variety of interests and hobbies and things like that. We have normal lives, but we find that we have very little time for that now on both of our parts because of the immense demand upon us to do this kind of work, and we do feel that God has us calling on these calls for these energies. Anyways, to make a long story short, I know we've got callers.
We do.
We were able to eradicate and expel the energies of
thank
God.
And help them move to a higher level of vibration.
What we actually did was we had angels escort them to a different
realm.
And
exactly.
We called upon that. So it's like we called 911.
Right.
And we did so in a way to where we actually, including the family, it was amazing. We all saw angels coming into the room and escorting these energies out. It was weird because it was the shadowy characters. There was a kind of an energy field where light angels came in and just escorted them out. It was like the whole mansion. It was like one of those cartoons where Frozen or something where the snow was gone.
Yeah.
The whole mansion, the lights came back on. It was amazing. Even as we're talking,
I know,
the
refrigerator starts running.
That's weird.
I know, that was weird.
It's making a strange sound.
It sure
is.
So it was
a grand event, and I wish we had more time to go into it, but thank
you
to our callers.
And we were going to talk a little bit about the third eye today, but I think we can do that Monday. The reason why we wanted to talk about it specifically was because I was discussing my personal development with a client on the phone, and I really didn't have the opportunity to go as deeply into the conversation as I would have liked to because of time constraints. So we'll talk about that on Monday, Neil, and let's get to our callers, which I did call out the order, but area code 661 and 802, you do not have one pressed on your handset, so I'll probably bring you on anyway. But if you'd like to speak with us, it would be nice to know, and please raise your hand. Okay, 832 is first. Good morning. Hello.
Hi.
It's very hard to hear you.
Okay.
Can you speak like right into your receiver?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, that's good. What's your name?
Dejan.
I'm sorry. You got to speak up a little bit more so we can help you out.
Dejan.
Dejan. How do you spell that, please?
D-A-J-O-N.
Okay, and your birth date, please.
January 3rd, 1996.
Oh, we can hear you really well, so that's a good position. Stay there. Where are you calling from, Dejan?
From Huntsville, Texas.
29112. Okay, what brings you to our show? I think this is the first time we've spoken with you.
Yes, I was just wondering if you would see anything about any type of relationship that I might have in the future.
Or relationship?
It's interesting.
Oh, Dejan, you actually are an energy human being with a certain energy that has relationships in the main theme of your life.
Two.
So, yeah, you're a two. You're
second chakra.
Your numerical value of your life, your master number is two. Now, it's made up of a 29-11-2, which means that, well, not only do you have relationships, but indeed through karmic history, if you will, you have relationships. They can be troubling. They can be controversial, sort of in their dynamics. There can sometimes be a surrounding element of emotional challenge in the relationship. There may be a certain degree of sexual intensity in the relationship. You, in fact, may have even a hard time yourself retaining one satisfying relationship at any given time. Now, you're 18 years old, so you're kind of fresh to the approach of really getting into the realm of what a relationship is all about. Of course, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you can be in relationships, but when you get to be 18 as you are, you're beginning to open up the door to what is a relationship really composed of when as you approach adulthood and start to move forward. Now, in my estimation, Dejan, you have an intensity. You're a very intense, probably, person, probably a deliberately thinking person. You sound like you have kind of a halting voice, so you think deeply about things before you express it. There might be a kind of deepness in the way you feel before you actually speak. But that means that you're very sensitive to the approach and the variety of what it feels like to actually be in a relationship. In my estimation, though, you're probably in this 18th year. I know you're going to be 19 in January, but probably if you're not in a relationship currently, you'll probably be in one before you're 19 and a half. Now, if you're in one now, there might be the indication that it's going to be breaking up or it's not going to be holding itself through. Because what I'm getting is that there's a break and a beginning. So you're going to be beginning a relationship. Even if you're in one now, it will be breaking up. But if you're not in one now, you'll be beginning a new relationship somewhere between now and June of 2015, somewhere between that time. There could be, Dejan, already some conflict in your upbringing. There could be already a divorce with your parents or some sort of separation in the family that you've already experienced through your years. And this may be indicative of some of your karmic elements. But indeed, I'm just trying to get to the scratch the surface of where you're going to be. You're certainly going to be in relationships. That's part of your karma, and you're going to be involved in them. My concern would be the immensity of the karma that you're carrying that could get inside of those relationships to make them a little bit troubling or challenging. But in the long run, you will probably find a satisfying relationship somewhere down the line, but not yet. You'll find relationships, but nothing, I don't think anything really long-term yet.
Okay.
Does any of that feel connecting to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, Dejan, remember, you know, this is probably the first time we've spoken, but I want to leave you with this. I feel very promising about your future. You seem to be a very sensitive person, a very caring person. Your sensitivity may sometimes get the best of you because you may feel so deeply that it may be hard when you get hurt or if you feel hurt, that can be very, you're a sensitive person. So it can really hit you hard. And that's something that I think in life, as you mature, you'll learn how to have better defenses about feeling so vulnerable with sensitivity without losing your sensitivity.
Okay.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps, Dijon. Thanks for finding us. Okay. All right. And Dijon can reach Neil at 562-596-7818. And, man a few words. He didn't say a lot.
No. Well, that's okay.
Not a criticism at all. He takes it in.
He's processing. Think Dijon is probably... He's very sensitive. You know, a person like this could be very artistic,
mm-hmm.
Feels from the heart, so could be a writer, passionate person. So even though he may be on the radio, Man a Few Words, I think that he's very sensitive. There's a very sensitive soul in this individual.
Yeah. Okay. Next caller, 412. It's interesting that other callers don't have one pressed. I'll probably bring them on anyway. But 412 does. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Who's this?
This is Keisha.
Oh, hey. We haven't talked to you in a long time. It's K-I-S-H-A, right?
Correct.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Can we get your birthday, Keisha, and where you're calling from, please?
2379, February 3rd, 1979. And I'm calling from... Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay. How's everything going? 15.
Huh?
15. Are you there?
Uh-huh. I'm still here.
Yeah. How are you? What's
good. I'm good.
For us, or what's going on?
I wanted to know, what did you guys see coming up for me for a new job?
All right.
Well, Keisha, throughout your whole history of backgrounds of jobs, have you ever been involved in sales?
Uh-huh, yep.
I know that might be a common term, and for the most part, a lot of people end up in sales somewhere as they're developing their job descriptions. But I was getting that around you. And are you still interested in sales as a job?
Somewhat, yeah. It depends on what I'm selling, you know.
Uh-huh. Now, have you ever been involved in selling anything that would be considered artistic? What am I saying? Like jewelry or accessories or something metaphysical, a product. A beauty line.
Well, I used to work at Macy's, and I thought it was okay, but I don't know. I don't know if I can't say it was the actual job. I didn't like the workers and things of that sort.
What department did you work in?
I was in clothing. I did recovery. I did sales. I did a couple things there.
Yeah.
I didn't like the staff.
Okay. That's what I'm... You know, that link that I'm going to is sort of a helpful guide for me in picking up your vibration, because I think you're going to be working soon. And I would pray that you work in an environment where you have a friendly group of people, no conflicts, no issues, and that you have the freedom to grow in that. In fact, I'm starting to see you as a manager. Something started to come in where I'm starting to see a level of management approaching you. Now, I don't have a vibe yet on the specifics, but I'm seeing the word management. And somewhere, it's not with you, but somewhere around your circle of acquaintances, someone's into sports equipment or sports something. I'm not sure. Does that make any sense yet?
I can't think of it now, but it might make sense later on. That's what I'm saying. Because I don't know no one who sells sports equipment at this point, but
well,
like I said, it might.
Have you ever been involved with anyone who had a sports interest or was active in sports? Have you ever had a connection with anybody, maybe not in sales, but someone who had an interest in it as a lifestyle?
Well, I know my last name is Dorsett. I know one of my Tony Dorsett, but, you know, I didn't really, I wasn't like, you know, I don't use that as that. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but Tony Dorsett, is that a sports figure? Who is Tony Dorsett?
He's a football player.
That's why I don't know.
Oh, is that somebody in your family?
Tommy Dorsett.
Yeah, it was like my dad's cousin or something like that, but he's an older guy, so I didn't really deal with him too much because he was from a whole other generation.
You know what, Keisha, that's what but you know, in the reading, that's the vibe I'm going towards that has some sort of even family connection to you. So we have to appreciate the fact that I'm getting this vibe that has to do with Tony Dorsett, even though he's not a real strong link to you. It's still a vibe in your family. And that's what I'm basing some of my premise on, that you're going to become a manager in some field, in some element.
Okay.
So I see that coming for you. At the age of 31, about 4 years ago, you should have gone through a change, maybe an occupational change. Did you go through a change during the year of your 31st year?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. So I'm picking up on that occupational change, Keisha. And actually, This February, you're going to be 36, and you're going to be going through a big change. So the year that you turn 36 is a commandingly positive year for you.
Oh,
and
wow.
I feel that there will be occupational delight. There will be a relationship that's fresh. It's a year that brings in a really bouquet of energy. It's like a rainbow.
Flowery.
You're going to be flowery. You're going to be baking a lot of cakes. It'll be a different color, so you won't be bored. No, flowery.
Flowery.
My tongue does not cooperate with my brain. Often it doesn't. But the attitude here, Keisha, is that I'm really feeling this. I'm not, you know, trying to make you feel good by giving you a fairy tale. It's a vibration that I'm getting. I'm also seeing something about a second-story apartment. I don't know what that is yet, but...
Is that anything you can validate? Second-story apartment?
Second-story of an apartment building.
I don't know. I live in a house, so it can't be my house. I don't know about a second-story
home.
You live in a two-story home?
It's really three stories.
Okay.
Three stories?
Yeah. I have three different, you know, not including the basement. I have the main floor, then I have my floor, and then my girl's room is at the top, you know.
Uh-huh.
So
do you live on the second floor?
Yep.
I'm seeing that you're on the second story, and the reason I said apartment because I felt occupants around you. So don't worry, the apartment is a house, but because you have girls, daughters, that's why I was seeing this energy. And is the husband, is there a divorce here?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I was seeing it as a broken energy. That's why the apartment threw itself at me in that symbolic guise. So, but good news, let's stick to the beginning of the reading, the good news. The validations surrounding it are fine, but the good news is a big change.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. All right. Nice to hear from you, and keep us posted on what happens. It's always nice to have people check in after you make a prediction, Neil, and, you know, let us know what transpires. Often it is validated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a couple of callers that don't have one press. I'm going to try to bring you on anyway. 661, are you just listening or would you like to speak with us? Are you there? Apparently they don't want to speak with us. Let me try caller from 802. Hi, 802, are you just listening?
Hi, I'd like to talk.
Okay, yeah, generally you got to press 1. I'm glad I brought you on.
Oh, okay. My first call, so.
Okay, yeah. Hi. Welcome.
Hi, it's Leslie in Vermont.
Leslie,
glad to be on the line with you. Yes.
Great to have you. And what's your birth date, Leslie?
It is 12/14/1950.
1950, okay.
Vermont.
Beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Maple syrup.
Yes, it is the capital.
Okay, what brings you here today, Leslie?
I had a reading with Neil a couple months ago, and you told me about the telephone line, and I got an email and said, oh, I'll call in and listen and see what's going on. I've been trying to sell my house. My husband and I have been trying to sell our house. And nothing's moving as of now in this part of our town. And so we're just kind of here, and instead of panicking over it, we're enjoying it and saying, well, while we're here, we'll just continue sightseeing and doing this and doing that. And we've been really looking forward to moving back to California. And last week, we went to Northern California for a wedding. And spent a few days, and I looked at the, there was a huge fire up there and the drought, and I thought, I wonder if we are meant to go back to California, if California is going to get better than what it is now, or if perhaps we'll be staying here or moving somewhere else, and wanted to know what Neil's feeling was.
Well, let me ask you real quick. 1973, when you were 23, I can't recall, Leslie, was that an important year for you, 23 years old?
I got pregnant with my first child.
Okay.
That would be it, yeah.
I actually had my first child.
Big change.
Yeah, actually had your first child, so a big change there. So I just need to get that vibration as I'm feeling it over the radio. And are there any in your family or around your family anyone who is a doctor, anyone in the medical field?
My brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law is a doctor?
Uh-huh.
And that would be your husband's brother?
My ex-husband's brother.
Your ex-husband's brother. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm getting that vibration as I move forward. You know, every state has its problems. And a fire in California isn't necessarily a statement that you're not supposed to move here. There was a fire in California. Okay, so I don't think that's a statement that...
You were going to say something, Leslie?
Oh, no, it wasn't just the fire. It was the what we were hearing from locals, you know, about the drought and everything. And I thought, oh, is that an omen? I was kind of looking at, is that an omen that we're not supposed to?
No, it is not an omen. Now, it could be a choice. It could be a choice on your part. But when we talk about omens, we're talking about spirits or guides giving you a statement that you're not supposed to move here specifically. And I don't feel anything around you in that other world that is informing me to warn you not to move here because there could be some impending accident or disaster awaiting you. So I don't get that. So if you move here... That's your choice, but I wouldn't predicate it on some omen factor or bad luck factor or something. So it's a matter of choice. Now, the next step is, do I see you being here, aside from the human choice? Well, you know, I think that there's something that's still holding you in Vermont, given that there's a real estate and a housing and this and that problem that could just be the physical dynamics of a halt a little bit in time. But I do feel You know, there's something about a 10 or 11 year energy. So how long have you lived in the current home you're in now?
7 years.
So we've got to go back. I said 10 or 11 years. How long have you been married to your current husband?
I met him 11 years ago, and we've been married six.
So when I said 10 or 11 years, I'm connecting. The 11 connects me to when you met your current husband.
Okay.
And then 5 years henceforth from 11 would be 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. That would bring us to about 6 years now. And you've been living in your home for 7 years. So I really feel that probably you're going to be moving from your home, having a sale within 8 months.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, so we go from there. Is there anything, forgive me for about finances, but of course if we're talking about home and residence and things like that, what's the $600,000? I know that's a high figure for the back east, but what's the $600,000 figure that seems to be hitting me? Does that connect anything?
I wish it was my bank account, but I don't know. I don't know what that is. That's much higher than the value of our current home.
What is your
I'm not sure.
That's not private. What is your current home on the market for?
$179,000,
which is going to be 10.7. That's going to be an 8. So why am I getting 600,000? Why am I getting? Are there any other properties anywhere else between you and your husband?
No, that's it.
I don't know yet what that might entail. Now, property values are much higher in California, and
they don't know.
Yeah, so you got that to contend with, and I don't know what that 179 in Vermont would equate to if it were in a California property. But
it might be pretty similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. This could definitely be a $600,000 house in Southern California.
Okay, that's what I'm getting. So what it's telling me, Leslie, is that I think what I'm getting from a higher source is that you're bound to move to California. The only thing that there might be, you know, a difference in what you would be able to, what the accommodations would be given your money, but maybe if you qualify, it might be better. But what I sense is that in the long run, do you have a lot of equity in your home?
No, we don't. We've only been here 6 years, so there isn't a whole lot, no.
Well, I don't know. We've got some things to work out. There's a couple of kinks here to work out. But to me, right now, it feels like California could be your destination.
Good. That's good with me. My children will be so happy.
Yeah. Well, work it out. I see that there's a money problem there, and so that's got me a little bit bemuddled. But I think that there's indications you're going to California.
Good. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Neil.
Welcome.
Okay, thank you so much, Leslie, for your call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. We've got one caller left, Neil.
One caller left, huh? Okay.
I feel like my tongue isn't working today. It's very slow.
Yeah, the batteries, I think. We put them in the refrigerator and
that's
they don't
right.
seem to be.
All right, 916. Good morning.
Hello, thank you for taking my phone call. I appreciate that.
Sure. Who's this?
My name is Ray, and I wonder if by your last caller if we were at the same wedding, because I was just at a wedding this last weekend here in Northern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, are you in Sacramento?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Ray, what's your birthday?
12/22 of 87.
1982, 1987.
Well, okay, where was your wedding located?
Sacramento downtown.
Oh.
Sounds like hers was, it sounds a little bit more remote a location to me. I didn't ask, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know.
I know, lots of weddings. This is the season, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 17, and 15. He said 32, 5. So what's your question, Ray?
Okay, so right now I'm in college. I'm a junior at Sac State, and I'm at a crossroads with my career. I mean, I'm passionate in what I do. And there's two possible things that I want to do, but I want to be smart about it. And next semester, I want to look into internships, but there's two similar fields I want to get into. And I don't want to be that senior that graduates in 3-4 semesters and say, okay, what am I doing now? You know, I want to start now, but I also want to be smart. I also want to move to the Bay Area as well. That's my passion and just what I'm doing. I just want to see what you pick up and what you think is the best route I should probably attack.
Well, Ray, your karmic number is 32 years old. Now, given that your master number is 5, so let's assume that when you're 27 this December, you're going to be 5 years prior to your karmic change. And that's significant because that 5 factor is still part of your life. And if we have the theme that at 27 it's 5 years away from a major change in your life, I think, you know, you're in your junior year, so 27 is going to be a very important year for you. The age of 27, I think, is demandingly important. Remember, for the sake of this reading, that when you're 32, you're going to be making a major, major, major change. Now, have you ever been interested in any aspect of communications?
I'm a mass communications major. I've actually had my own radio show here on Blog Talk Radio for the last 2 years.
Oh, really? What's your radio show so we can share that with our listeners?
I do primarily football. I'm a big Raiders fan. It's blogtalkradio.com/DrDeath26, and I do a lot of radio commentary.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Ray,
Raiders.
Ray, I don't know you. I've never spoken to you, and for me to get communications and you're in mass communications, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be very successful. So
and let me pinpoint exactly, because I just want to, for those of you that are listening, I don't even know really who you are. This is actually my first time calling in. I just want to see, you know, how accurate you are. You're very accurate. And my crossroads is, I don't know if I want to be in the radio because it takes a lot of talent and knowledge to be in there. Or I didn't know if I wanted to get into PR because I'm very good because I do a lot of fundraising. I've raised thousands of dollars for nonprofits. So I do know how to do public relations, and I'm good with organizing the masses, you know, people. And at my job, I work at a restaurant. I've brought in thousands of dollars for them. So I have two passions, but truly my number one is radio. But I also want to pick the one that's going to be best for me. And really, I don't know. I'm like at a loss between those two.
Well, I'll tell you, these are two strong elements. If we look at this spiritual aspect of your what you're considering, the PR would probably have a firmer command upon your spiritual essence on the earth. Fundraising and promoting and public speaking and being dynamic and gathering resources and having more of an interconnected human quality to bringing people together, as opposed to sports broadcasting and sport reporting and giving analysis and things like that, which is still very important in terms of the dynamics and logistics of sport reporting. So I think on a spiritual level, if you're thinking about doing higher work and your consideration is how do I nourish my spirit, I would say PR. If you're talking more about your ego, which isn't a crime, and you're talking more about your personality in terms of your profile on a entertainment level that exceeds entertainment and gets more into analysis and critical discussions about sport, whatever you may be doing, I would say to go into the radio zone. But I think that what you can do is by going through the radio zone, you will ultimately grow and evolve into PR. So I think that you can have both cake and icing by doing both. If you're going to have a harder time getting into a radio if you do mass, if you do PR work first. But if you do radio first, I think you're going to have an easier time doing PR work. So I would say, you know, you could, you're not old. You're 26 years old. You're going to be graduating. What? You're 27, 28. You have graduated, Ray?
I'm 27. I'll be graduated in about 4 semesters.
Yeah. So I would assume that you could do the radio work for a couple of years. And probably by the time you're 32, you're going to be making a big change anyways, coming into a lot of energy, money, spirituality. They'll both be companions, and you'll make a big change. So my way of thinking, on a rough draft form, radio uh-huh. for a couple of years, then PR. But if you do that route, you'll be doing PR by the time you're 32.
Huh. And that actually, you saying that, I feel most comfortable with it, because I do radio at Sac State on their radio station, and all of a sudden I've already had callers calling in from London and Canada and Florida, and a lot of people say that I have that personality to do it. I even have friends that I had in high school that I just came across the other day. I told them I was in radio, and they said that makes total perfect sense. That fits you right, you know. But I'm also looking for my long term, you know, where the money's going to be at, where I can be comfortable. I'm not a big rich guy. I don't need to have big money. You know, I just want to be comfortable. But you tell me this, I feel very much comfortable. I didn't know what I was going to do in the next 6 months. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for finding our show, Ray.
Yeah, of course. You guys have a great evening. Thank you again. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye. Well, you know, I'm not a football fan, but if there's any team that I like, it's the Oakland Raiders. So,
well, great.
Yes. But you won't really catch me watching any football. And we have 267 area code left here.
We have time for one more.
Hello. My name is Jennifer, and this is my first time on your show. Are you able to divine information from people who have crossed over?
Uh-huh. And what's your birthday, Jennifer? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bucks County, Pennsylvania,
uh-huh.
And my very beautiful area. My birth date is 5/23/1976.
Okay, and so you're wanting to connect with whom, 7, 8, 9, 10, or should I even ask that, Neil?
Well, not quite, yeah.
No, we're not asking
8,
that.
10,
okay, so Neil's going to just start
33,
working
6.
With the vibe here, the Bible.
Okay.
Bible energy.
Yeah.
Let's see
here. You're 28 years old?
I wish. No, 38.
38.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait
yeah.
a minute.
76.
Oh, 38. I'm sorry. My common error in arithmetic.
We're still
which
working
I'm,
on arithmetic here.
Yeah, that was my fault. Okay.
That's
30,
okay.
Oh. 38 years old. Let me ask you something. Are you concerned about connecting to a female energy?
Yes.
Because I'm getting female.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may be wrong here, and forgive me if I'm in error, but has your mother crossed over?
Yes, you're very good about that. Yep.
Because I feel a mother figure. I'm tearing up a little bit. So, it's mother figure. Is that who you're trying to connect to?
Well, it's actually two mother figures, but whichever one wants to come through would be great.
Well, I'm tearing up, so I know that the mother figure, or at least when we got one of them, if not both, but they are saying they're very happy that we got that far. So what they're saying, given our limited time, Jennifer, is I'm here. I got the vibe. I know you're trying to reach me through Neil. I'm letting you know that I am here. I do hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying. Now, aside from anything else, just open up your mind to this name. Don't worry about how important it is. But did you ever know anybody named Alice?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware of, because there's something about Alice. Now, did any of these mother figures have any kind of medical problem in terms of having to take drugs, medication? Was there a lingering problem?
Both of them. My mother was drinking.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My grandmother, she was on a whole host of medications.
Yeah. As they both, I think they're both here. And the reason that I said Alice was in my, you may be too young to know this, but there was a book and a movie called Go Ask Alice. And they were trying to get me to feel the implications of, but that was drugs and alcohol, whatever. But they were trying to get me to feel the implications of alcohol, drugs, even though it may be medical drugs. They're trying to get me to say that. They're also, they're saying they both are sending you their love very
mm-hmm.
strongly, and that they hope you get through a certain crisis that you're going through. Have you ever yourself been in therapy?
No. I'm, well, court ordered, but no, never voluntarily. But my mother was a psychic, so I was always getting information from her.
Yeah,
well,
but it's court-ordered therapy. You were in court-ordered therapy?
It was, you know, my parents got divorced, and I had to do that, so I was really young.
In therapy, whether or not you chose to do it or not,
yeah.
You were in therapy.
Yeah, Jennifer,
yeah.
You understand the way I read. That's just a validation. So we go back, wind the clock back. Yes, I was in therapy. Correct. It was court-ordered.
Right.
And it was due to a crisis, due to a divorce.
Right.
So your mom's moving through that and feeling the energy of it and just enveloping you in a kind of, from the other side, in a kind of essence of love and comfort. There's also a cat. Where's this cat? C-A-T, cat.
I don't own one, nor did, I mean, when I was a child, we had cats, but nothing current.
Okay, I'm going, your mother is traveling backward in time for some reason. Any, you know, we don't have a lot of time to get into the depths of this.
We have about a minute left.
We only have about a minute left, Jennifer, but I can tell you that I'm getting a message from, I think, both your mother, is it a grandmother, and
mm-hmm.
that they are connecting to me. They're beginning a revolving dialogue, and I'm starting to feel the vibration of it. I've been doing this a long time, so I know what I'm getting. I just don't have time to elaborate. Was there any, were you ever yourself in any kind of car accident, minor, major, anything with a car?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, she's telling me about that, so we're starting to develop a dialogue to where she's just starting to link her energy to me. She's pressing on my hand right now. So I think she's just kind of thanking me for making this quick reference that she is here, she loves you, and I'm sure the dialogue doesn't stop here.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. It's very important that I hear from her, so I appreciate your help in that.
Yeah, there's probably more content, so
Absolutely.
Just keep yourself aware to it, and they'll try their best.
Yeah,
okay.
Jennifer, you're always welcome to give us a call here on the show again. You know, you came in kind of late, so,
yeah.
You know, it's dependent on the number of callers that we have, too, how long the readings are, because we do try to get to everyone. So, you again, try us here maybe a little earlier in the show, or you can reach Neil directly, 562-596-7818, because obviously, Neil, you had a pretty strong connection with Jennifer. And so, you know, all the validations were coming in. Anyway, we are back on the air on Monday morning. And is there anything else you wanted to add before we close the show, Neil?
Let's save it for Monday morning. We have a situation that occurred on a yacht that we went on. It would be interesting to talk about that.
We're not
going to
be
ghostly
talking about
experience.
How I was sick on the yacht.
Yeah, you got sick on the yacht, but another ghostly encounter on a yacht.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Very interesting. So we will discuss that and the third eye development on Monday. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Hope each one of you has a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much.